Tonight we're going to be looking at one chapter, and that's what we're going to be studying out of tonight, and that is the third chapter of Ephesians. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible, because it is in the third chapter of Ephesians that Paul talks about the mystery of grace that he has been given to share with the world. And what a message he was given. What a message. The message that he was able to be revealed to by the Holy Spirit, and that he was able to take that message to the world, that Jesus Christ died for all, and that he extends grace. The Father extended grace through Christ, and you can now be reconciled to the Father. And so we're going to look at this, and I'm going to title the lesson tonight. And whether we make it all the way tonight or not, I don't know. We'll just see. But we're going to do something a little bit different tonight, maybe, than you're used to on Wednesday nights. We are strictly going to read this word. And then we're going to read the verse, and then we're going to I'll just share just a little bit out of this. But this is a powerful setting of Scripture. And I'm going to talk to you about unlocking the mystery. Unlocking the mystery. This is an amazing revelation that Ephesians chapter 3 lays out for us. And let's start by reading just the first few verses. Ephesians 3, verse number 1, Paul's writing. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." We'll just take those verses and we'll stop there. We're going to be going down through this entire chapter, but we'll just take that. Paul talks about the mystery. And he begins then to just unlock and reveal this mystery revelation that he has been given. The word there, mystery, the Greek word there is mysterion. Now, I may not be pronouncing that exactly right, but that is the Greek word there. And it has several different meanings in the Greek, so it's used in several different ways. When you find it in the New Testament, you'll see it used in several different ways. But a mysterion, it comes, that's the root word, and that's like a mystic. That's the word for a mystic, and we associate mystics with Hinduism, or we associate with Buddhism, or we associate mystics often with New Age type movements, the mystical things. But really, in the Greek translation here, that word, it really means a person initiated into sacred mysteries. Okay, it's to initiate, to learn a secret or esoteric knowledge. It is to gain knowledge directly from the Lord. Okay, in this setting. And so Paul is saying, I've been given this mystery to reveal by the Spirit. Okay, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, it talks about mystery, but it denotes in general something hidden or not fully manifest. It talks about the mystery of iniquity. Okay. The mystery of iniquity is something about iniquity that is hidden and not fully yet known. Because iniquity, once you start into that, you don't fully know all of the results of it. It just begins. And then the revelation of all that occurs because of that begins to be seen. That's not the word that Paul's going to use here. That's another aspect of this word. It also means some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is naturally unknown to human reason and is only known by a revelation of God. Scripture will talk about mystery that way oftentimes throughout, and there's several places. Paul talks about it to Timothy, and Paul's writings, he will use that and talk about the mystery, and it is something that is naturally unknown. Okay? So it has to be spirit revealed to a person. So it's a mystery to the nature of man. And it has to be revealed by God. And Paul speaks of the mystery of the relationship between Christ and his church. And the mystery is revealed in the context of the husband and wife. And there's a picture there. The mystery is truly about Christ and his church, because he gave himself fully for the church. And the husband is to follow that, because the husband is to be the picture of that on the earth. And the wife is to be the picture of the church in response, and to walk with and to yield and to support in that manner. And he said, but I'm speaking of Christ and the church. The husband and wife are just pictures of that. And when the marriage is a godly marriage, it will be a picture of the agape love of God, of Christ and the church. And so it's a mystery that is revealed in the earth in this way, that is to be a sign to people to see what God expects, not only for our marriages, but what God expects for our relationship with Christ. Okay, so it's a mystery. In 1 Timothy 3:9, Paul talks about the mystery of faith. I mean, faith is a mysterious thing, because faith oftentimes bypasses reason and intellect. Because faith oftentimes, and the word even says, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith, and we live by faith. And so there's a mystery in that, because you, faith sometimes causes you to believe something you're not seeing or understanding. So people that have to have everything laid out in a way that they can understand and that they can wrap their mind all the way out, they have a hard time with faith. Any of you guys by nature are the type of person that you are reason-oriented by nature. I am. I'm very reason oriented, so I want to see it and I want to understand it and I want to get my mind around it, and I want that. That's why oftentimes I'll think through something every possible way that I can imagine to think through it, and I love to learn and I love to study, because if I can get my mind around something, then it stays with me and I can do it. But faith is mysterious, because there are aspects of faith. Now, faith is not based on nothing. Faith is based on God and the truth and the Word of God and the truth of God and the experiences with God. But yet faith is mysterious, because sometimes you have to believe even when you don't see or understand. And as a reason-based person, there have been many times in my walk with the Lord that I've asked God to show me why and how and, you know, all these things. And the Lord just will tell me, won't you just believe? Amen. Because you just got to have faith. You just got to hold to faith at times. So it's a mystery, okay? And it can be a spiritual truth couched under an external representation. So that's mystery. But in this chapter, as Paul writes about the mystery, he is writing about this mystery in a way that it is revealing the gospel revealed to all mankind. It's what makes this chapter stick out above all others. Because the mystery that Paul talks about here is truly the very mystery of what God has done for us through Christ. Amen. I mean, it is the mystery of grace. It is the mystery of the fact that none of us deserve for God to love us, or deserve for God to redeem us, or deserve for God to desire to be reconciled to us. None of us can work our way to that. None of us can be good enough to receive that. And so therefore it's a mystery. We can't work and prove ourselves faithful enough. We can't understand enough to be reconciled. There's not laws, a book of laws that we can just keep to the T and dot all the I's and cross every T and be good enough. It's the mystery that God chose in Christ to place upon his own Son the sin of the world, that he would die upon a cross, bear the burden of sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. There's no other way. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus took sin upon himself, carried it upon the cross, and died once for all, that if we will believe in him, we are redeemed to the Father. That's the greatest mystery you'll ever hear. The world cannot receive that rationally. Amen. You can't. The only way you receive salvation is by faith. There is no other way. And that is through Christ, for he is the only way. So the only way that you can be saved and reconciled to the Father is to have faith in Christ. To put faith in Jesus. That is the key to the mystery. The door, Jesus is the door. The key that unlocks the access to redemption with the Father is faith in the door. Amen. How many know that door out there has a lock on it? Your door at your house has a lock on it. I've got these keys in my pocket from the bulletin boards back there. It's not an object lesson. It's just in my pocket, so I felt them there. So I'll use them. I normally don't have keys with me, but I just happen to have this. And that bulletin board back there has a lock on it. But if I'm going to get into that, then I have to take a key that has been set up to be in that turn, and then I have access to it. See, this is the mystery. We have been given, God has given to each person a measure of faith. Amen. And he gave to the world his son Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, John 3:60, that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his son to the world, and he gave to every individual a measure of faith. Because that measure of faith is going to be it's going to take. You have to put that faith in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, the door, and that unlocks and gives access to the kingdom and to be reconciled with the Father. There's no other way. People want to say, well, maybe there are other paths. Maybe there are people that can be good. No, there's only one key that fits into that door that unlocks access to the Father, and that is the key of faith in Jesus, the door. People can argue all they want. Other religions, you know, people say, well, you know, they mean well, and they're very spiritual people. Well, that's fine, but they don't have the key in the door that will unlock access to the redemption with the Father. Well, I'm a better person than those Christians are. Well, you may be. You may be a better person than any of us. But if you are not using the key of faith in the door, Jesus, you do not have access to the Father's kingdom. Doesn't matter how good you are. And here's the thing. God's given us all that measure of faith. He didn't give us a measure of faith because we were good enough. He didn't even give us a measure of faith because we were good. In fact, he put a measure of faith in us when we weren't good. Amen. Because he desires to be with us. And there's only one way. We've been separated by sin. So there's only one way, through Christ, and you have to put faith in him. God offers the grace. God offered the path. God offered the door. He said, this is the way, walk in it. And he's given us access to it. That's faith in his way, which is Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me on that? It's the greatest mystery the world will ever know. And the world cannot accept it unless they accept by faith. So don't ever be deceived. Don't ever get just feeling bad because people are making wrong decisions. And people in our world today want to say, well, surely God's a God of mercy. And so if people are sincere in their heart and they're just coming in other ways, surely God is going to let them in. No. He's given each one a measure of faith to put in Christ so they can be redeemed. And he can reach them. He sends us to the world to tell them about this great mystery. He sends us across the oceans. People will go. Not just ours. They'll come over here. Mission that they go and they tell people about Jesus that don't know him. But here's the reality. God's a big enough God that he can even put in people's hearts that other people might not know God's dealing with. God can even just deal with them and that measure of faith in them and present his son to them, and they can believe from wherever they are. their stories all over the place right now in the world of the Muslim world right now of Muslims who are having visions of Christ. All you're hearing them all the time now. They're having visions of Christ, that Christ is coming to them. And they are beginning to see, it's not all, of course, but there are stories that there are people that are beginning to see because God's reaching out, because I believe time is short. And I believe that the word has gone out, but I believe God is able to touch people where they are in ways that we can't understand. Because if God put a measure of faith in all of us, then God knows how to activate that faith and give every person a choice. Well, I'm not sure, Pastor. That doesn't sound, it's a mystery. Paul begins to tell us about this mystery. So the first thing that I want to say, I've got some other scriptures, but I'm not going to go there tonight. We might pick those up if we continue on. The first thing I want to talk about is the mystery. Because do you know in Ephesians 3, Paul defines it for us. He defines this for us. I read, the first four verses to you. But let's read verse 5. He said, which in other ages, this mystery in other ages, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So he's not saying that there was no way it could be known. He said it was not made known this way. It's clarified now. And I know people say, well, yeah, because in the Old Testament, God spoke to people through his law. But, you know, God spoke to people even pre-law. Amen. Abraham talked with God, and that was before the law, a long time before the law. Right? See, God can speak to people. Don't put God in our box. He's revealed it now. Paul is saying something here, and Paul is saying, now, in other ages, this was not made known. The mystery I'm about to reveal to you was not made known. Why? Because Jesus had not yet come and died for sin on this earth, even though the Bible says he's the lamb slain before the very foundation of the earth. And again, there's the mystery, because God accounts done what he has spoken already. He can call the end before the very beginning. Amen. And so therefore he can speak to people even before something happens about the mystery that's going to come. But now Paul has received this revelation of the Spirit about the grace of God in Christ that has now been given for a purpose. Now let's just carry on, because here's where he's going to define it. Verse 6. Here's the mystery. That the Gentiles. You know what a Gentile is? Anyone that exists that is not a Jew is a Gentile. If you don't have that Jewish lineage, that Jewish heritage, then you are classified as a Gentile. Okay? That Jewish heritage, there's that bond that God is going to speak, right? Through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, down into Joseph and all the boys in the tribes of Israel now that have been numbered and counted and maintained down through the ages. And when we get into prophecy, when we start our teaching on prophecy that we're going to start into, you'll begin to find that in the tribulation period that is going to come upon this earth, what's going to happen is when the church is taken up, it reverts back to God dealing with that final dealing with Israel. And that's where that's going to be, and we'll cover that more. But here's what Paul said, verse 6. The mystery is this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the law. Is that what it says? It doesn't say the law, does it? Through the gospel, the good news of Christ. Here's the mystery. And let me tell you, if you were living in that day, the statement Paul makes is heretical, blasphemous, I mean, it's absurd. If you are a Jewish person, that statement right there would raise up enough anger in you that Paul needs to immediately die. We don't quite understand the intensity of this moment. But Paul said, here's the mystery. And now the reason it was a mystery, because this was not acceptable. But the mystery is that the Gentiles, so now all of a sudden when Christ came, this thing opens up to more than just the Jews. And when you open it up to anyone other than the Jews, you open it up to everybody. Oh, amen. Come on now. That's some good news. We wonder why it's called good news. Because as soon as the gospel goes to anyone outside the house of Israel, it goes to everybody. Amen. That the Gentiles should, and here it is, that now everyone can be fellow joint heirs. That everyone in this mystery has joint claim to kingdom promises. See, we are so far removed from this and so far inoculated to this that I don't think we understand the unbelievable moving of the Spirit that is taking place in this verse. Maybe it would help us to understand. You take some of the most hideous people you can think of, or heinous. And when I say people, I'm talking about wickedness, not whole people groups. But you take wickedness. You know, you take those that the radical ISIS movement. You take that radical deformity movement. You take that and you say in that. That if they can hear this mystery and receive it in Christ and put faith in Christ, that then they can also become joint heirs. That now we're starting to understand a little bit more. Because see, when we put it against people that we have problems with, it begins to clear up a little bit. Amen. I mean, you take the people that have hatred in their heart for other people just because of the way they look or just because of their background or whatever it is. It's saying to that person that is full and dominated. It's saying to Adolf Hitler that the Jews have just as much of a place in this world as he does. How many know he wouldn't respond well to that statement? If we could drag his carcass out of hell and ask him, he would tell you that. Amen. This is radical. I mean, this shatters every wall of mankind. That the Gentiles, these that are outside of the body, now outside of the Jewish brethren, should be fellow heirs of, now listen, not just joined in, not just that now we have a part, but he goes on to say, of the same body. The same body. They become one and partakers of his promise in Christ. Do you know what his promise in Christ is? Every promise made is his promise in Christ. And now they are made partakers of his promise in Christ through this good news. Come on, somebody. This is the good news. Jesus Christ came to this world and died, took sin upon himself, died on the cross, buried it in a tomb, walked out on the third day, ascended back unto the Father in the right time, sent the Spirit down as a sign and seal that the work was finished. And now, because of that act, the faith that's been placed within mankind from the very beginning can activate, and now we can put faith in in Christ, and we become one body in Christ, and the promises made in Christ become ours. That's the mystery. That's what Paul... No wonder everywhere Paul went, they came to salvation. And no wonder everywhere Paul went, they beat him, persecuted him, hated him. Because if any message the enemy doesn't want to get out, it's this message. He does not want people to understand this message. The enemy does not want you to comprehend what it is that Jesus has done for us. The enemy wants to keep you, if he can't keep you completely from it, he wants to keep this a mystery in your eyes that you can't quite understand. So that you always think of yourself as less than. So that you always think that you're not good enough. So that you always think that you always have to be the same way that you've always been. So that you always think that there's always this thing that you just can't quite grasp. But the good news and the mystery of the gospel of grace is that when we apply faith, put faith in Christ, we are joint heirs with Jesus. There's authority in this. See, your faith comes from that place of authority. It was God who planted it, and when it awakens and is put in Christ, nothing can stop that. You know, when you think about the concept that all things are possible, if you believe, you know why? Because it was God that put the ability to believe in you. See the setup. Look at the setup. In fallen man, God buries a treasure hidden in the field, hidden in the earth. And in fallen man, God buries a treasure. He named it faith. Measure of faith. So that even in man's fallen state, God has buried a measure of faith. Amen. Are y'all with me? You tracking with me on that? And so no matter what comes, no matter what the enemy does, God can communicate with his and to that measure of faith. And once they submit to that and they yield to that and they put faith in God's way and in God's plan, anything becomes possible. Because now you have just bypassed everything in the natural. That's right. Yeah, they were hired at the very last hour and got the same pay everybody else does. Think about this. When faith is activated in Christ, you bypass everything else that has been at you, brought to you, held you back, defeated you, caused you to be separated from God. All of a sudden, there is a highway that you have just, a super highway that you have just stepped into called faith, that you can walk right past. Isaiah would call it the highway of holiness. That if you're walking on that, no wonder they shall come, the redeemed shall come singing with joy. Amen? Because you can walk right out of the mess of your life on the highway of faith, and you bypass the jackals and the sin and the failure and the struggle, because you're walking on what God put in you in the beginning. You're now just putting it in His path, in His way, in Jesus, and nothing can stop you. Nothing can cause you to fall off of that highway. You're walking on faith. In Christ and His finished work. It's a mystery that only God can accomplish. Now, think with me for a moment. If that's God's plan, how silly do our plans look to try to navigate life without Him? Amen? How silly is that? If He's put in you a measure of faith, that when you put that in Jesus, when you take that gift, that he's given you, that measure of faith, and you place it in Jesus, his way, his path, the door into the kingdom and all the promises to be joint heirs with Christ now, and you place that in him, and now the door opens and you are welcomed in. Welcome in, my good and faithful son. And you walk on this highway and blessings are following you and redemption is yours, and he gives you gifts on the journey and he's blessing you. You're like that prodigal son that's coming home, and everything else was taken from him except he remembered the path home. I feel like preaching tonight instead of just teaching. Everything else was taken from him, but he remembered the path home. And he got up and he quit thinking maybe I just have to eat the pig food, the slop. And he shook himself off best he could. And all of his friends that partied with him were gone. But he said, if I can just get back to the Father's house. Amen. And here's what happened. When he's a long way off, he was on the path, but he was a long way off. See, because the Father had instilled in him from a young age, this is the path home. This is how you can get back here. This is the path home. And even though he was a long way off, the Father saw him. Well, he was a long way off. See, that's how faith works. When the Spirit speaks to us and we're drawn unto Christ by the Spirit, and that measure awakens us in us as the Spirit quickens that, and it awakens us in us, and we put faith in Christ. We're a long way off, but the Father sees us. And said they just stepped into the path. And he came running to him and wrapped his arms around him. And my favorite part of that story is the whole way the boy was rehearsing his speech. And you go read it. When you have the chance, you go read it. He's rehearsing his speech and he's got it all prepared. I don't deserve to be your son. If I could just be your servant, I'll do this and do that. He's got this whole thing. And when he gets there, the father wraps his arm and the boy starts to say the speech and the father cuts him off. Because he took the path the father had told him. And all that mattered was when he got on it, the father could do the rest. The mystery. If you can hear that, if you can hear that. Now we haven't even got into this chapter, but if you can hear that, here's what it is. That mystery tells us how men can be truly reconciled to God. That mystery tells us how a people that was not even really considered a people can be brought into Christ. That mystery tells us how two can become one in Christ. This mystery is the secret that unlocks everything. And it hinges on putting faith in Christ. Everything in your life hinges on you putting your faith in Christ. When you can't put your faith in the next step or faith that the process is all going to work out, you can put your faith in Christ and then all of the promises are yours. The minute you put your faith in Christ, everything becomes yours. Because you are in Him. You are one in Him. Come on now. You are one together. That's how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Because when we come together in Christ and in faith, we are strong. When you get in trouble, it's when you put your trust in something other than Christ. You walk out of the mystery. And guess what? When you walk out of the mystery, you walk into history. Amen. Amen. Anybody got some history? Yeah? If you walk out of the mystery, then all you got left is your history. And you'll repeat it. And you'll reenact it. And you'll go right back down that other path. And you'll forfeit all your blessings. And you'll mess up all over again. And you'll find yourself right back in the same mess that you used to be. And we'll say, well, I don't understand this. I thought everything was okay, but you walked out of the mystery. See, Israel walked out of the mystery of relationship with God because they were birthed in mystery. 100-year-old dad and a 90-year-old mom birthed them. Would you agree? That's a mystery. Sarah's hip didn't even hurt. Yeah, B-Shock wasn't around then, was he? I get that. That's a mystery. And even further than that, not only was she 90 and he was 100 at the time of birth, but not only that, but she was barren. It's a mystery. Israel was birthed in mystery. It was a mystery that God spoke to Abraham and said, leave your land and go to a place that I'll show you. Look at the mystery. And as long as they walked, when God appeared through Moses, it was a mystery. Amen? I mean, if you're standing at the edge of the Red Sea and Egypt's barreling down on you and mountains are all around you and the sea's in front of you and your leader holds up his hands out over the water with a staff and all of a sudden the sea parts. Amen. I would dare say probably none of us would have been the first ones to walk in there. Amen. But they walked across on dry ground. That's what the word tells us. Well, I don't know if I believe it. Well, it's a mystery. They were delivered in mystery. And when they got there, I said, I like the people that it says that Egypt tried to come in and they were drowned in the sea. And people say, well, it was only about 2 inches deep, so that's how they crossed over. Well, God drowned the whole army in 2 inches of water then. See, we get our mind in the way. And when you get your mind in the way, you miss the mystery. And all you got's history. Amen. The mystery. So they were birthed in it, but when they got out of it, they saw the law. And the law was to preserve and point them to the covenant that was coming in Christ. And they'd walk out of that mystery and they thought they were good enough to keep, and they'd always prove they couldn't. And then they even put more laws around that law. And that when Jesus came, The Pharisees, at that point, it wasn't just the law that was given. Now they had the fence that they had put around the law. So that was, they had added all these other laws to the law just to keep everybody from breaking the law. And the problem was everybody was breaking the law more than the previous people were. Because now there's more laws to break. Amen. Yeah. And so that's, you know, now they're ripping tags off of mattresses. You know, they're eating Tide Pods. You know, you got to have warnings on things. Don't stick a hot iron on your face. You know, we just break laws. Yeah. But when they walked out of the mystery of their relationship with God, they would always fall back to the same history. And what I'm trying to say, and I'm going to close here. We'll walk through this next week. What I'm trying to say to you is this. When you cease to walk in the mystery of faith in Christ, you fall back on the history of your past failure. And whichever one you're walking in is going to produce results. Israel, the minute they walked out of their mysterious relationship with God and would take to other idols or would put faith in themselves, It was predictable what they were going to produce. And they did it over and over. And God would send prophets. And God would send people. And God would send kings. And God would send priests. And he would do all of these things. But it was predictable what was going to happen. But when they walked in their mysterious relationship with God, that the nations of the world at that time couldn't understand, they walked in victory. And it is the same way with us today. Your victory is found in this mystery. Now, for the rest of this chapter, he's going to tell us what that victory looks like. And he's going to lay it out, and it's amazing. But we can never bypass what the mystery is and only look at what it looks like, because if we're not walking in it, it's not for us. Amen. Stand your feet with me. How many would believe that's good news? Would you agree? That's good news. Hold on. All of a sudden, I've got an answer to all this that I'm struggling with. The mystery of Christ. And the grace offered through him, and the measure of faith that God put in me. And if I can release that into Christ, all of a sudden I find my answer. It's worked every time it's been tried down through the ages. Every time. Because it is the answer. That's why when they were being persecuted by Rome, Christians were, and they were being burned at the stake, that's why some could run to the stake. And while the flames were licking up around them, they would be proclaiming their faith in Christ, because they never wavered off of the mystery. Amen? And that's why the more they were persecuted, the more the church grew. Because it was a mystery. And that's why the more comfortable we become, the less powerful we are. Because the more comfortable we become in where we are, we quit relying on the mystery of Christ. And we start relying on ourselves, and therefore we repeat history. Fight for the mystery. Amen. Fight to keep faith in Christ.